Shalom, I'm Tamir Dortal, and today on our podcast on meaning, Al HaMashmaut, we are honored to host Dennis Prager, the founder of PragerU. And in this interview, we will discuss the American Jews and the changes they have been going through in the past few decades.
Al HaMashmaut, podcast philosophy politi.
Shalom, Dennis.
Shalom. Thank you, Tamir. Welcome to my home.
It's a pleasure to be here. You mentioned frequently that the Western culture is rooted in Judeo-Christian values. What are those values?
Well, first of all, I do have on the internet about a 10-part series, What Are Judeo-Christian Values? So if people are interested, just to Dennis Prager, Judeo-Christian Values, they'll be very easily found. So basically that there Judeo-Christian is really a euphemism or another way of saying biblical values, such as God wants us to be good. God gave the Ten Commandments. God created the world. It's a God-centered, morality-centered view of life, that the human being is created in God's image. That is a Judeo-Christian value. That is not a secular value by definition. The human being in the secular world is material. We are made of the same material stars are made of. And when we die, we return to the physical world from which we came, and that's the end of everything. In the Judeo-Christian world, you have a soul. The human being is infinitely precious. A Judeo-Christian value is that race does not matter. Adam, the first human being, had no race. We don't know if Adam was white or yellow or brown or red or black, and we don't care. So there is an attempt to undo the Judeo-Christian value system in the world today.
You just said that the values came from the Bible, but
yes,
there is a real distinction of the values of the Old Testament or the Bible of the Jews and the New Testament of the Christians. Can you separate between the values of Judaism and the values of Christianity?
The values of Christians rooted in the Old Testament, in our Tanakh, they hold Judeo-Christian values. These were the founders of America, were truly Judeo-Christian Christians. If the Christian is basically only interested in the New Testament or in the Old Testament as solely a vehicle to believing in the New, that's not necessarily Judeo-Christian. However, remember, there are Judeo-Christian values. There isn't Judeo-Christian theology. The Old Testament and New Testament differ in theology more than they differ in values.
But, like, you could read from the story, even from, like, the simple stories, that there are different values between the Old and the New Testament.
Give an example.
Like, the Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan in the New Testament, the guy that helped the Samaritan was Jewish, but he helped someone that was his enemy during a war, and he helped him nevertheless. This is a value to help someone even if he's the enemy of yours. But in the Old Testament, Joshua was ordered by God to kill all of the people that were Canaanim, that were in Canaan, when he conquered Israel.
Right.
They were his enemy, and therefore they should die.
Okay, we don't learn a value from a unique episode. That's basic law. If God, there's a very important point that I want to make. If God in the Tanakh said, whenever you go to war, kill everyone that you fight.
Even the animals.
Even the animals, that is correct. That would be a big problem for me as a Jew, and it would be a big problem. Then you would have a New Testament, Old Testament conflict. But if God, it's like saying, should blacks have killed every firstborn in America when they were liberated from slavery? because of the 10th plague? No, you don't learn what to do. By the way, that's why God said, I will kill the firstborn, not an angel and not a Jew. I will do the killing. The values difference. I'll give you an
example. The Old Bible is really national, is really talking about the Israelites, but the New Testament is talking about spirituality, what you believe, what you feel. It's more about the individual.
Well, I don't think that the I don't think the Torah is as ethnically based as you might think. That is the reason that my Torah commentary is bought by so many non-Jews. I think the Torah is for the world. I think, as I put it, the Torah is no more only for Jews than Beethoven is only for Germans, or Shakespeare is only for the English. People in Israel read Shakespeare in Hebrew and think he's great. People in Japan read Shakespeare in Japanese and think he's great. The Torah... God says, listen, this is your wisdom in the sight of the nations. Jews stopped teaching the Torah to the nations. You know who ended up teaching the Torah to the nations? Christians. And Rambam said that.
Yeah, of course. And the Old Testament, when Christians, mostly Protestants, read the Bible without the priest telling them how to interpret the Old Bible, they started being more national. And this is one of the reasons for the nationality movement had started rising in Europe in the 18th, 17th century because of the print press, of the print that you could print the Bible and move it to every house and read it on your own.
It was a huge change. I couldn't agree with you more.
It was a huge change not only for the Jews that started to read and study the Bible, it was a huge change for all the Christian nations which became more national in their identity.
Oh, I'm a big believer in national identity. I think it's a very healthy thing. The more national identities, the better. Because I know that when there is great power in one hand, you get massive evil.
Yeah, it's an antidote.
It's an against yes, that imperialism. Is what, and that, by the way, is the great lesson of the Tower of Babel.
Exactly.
When they united, they built the Tower of Babel. So God said, okay, speak a lot of languages. Have a good day.
Yeah, which is one of the foundations of a nation, a language, a separate language.
That's I love separate languages. I think it's a beautiful thing.
So let's talk a bit about assimilation. According to the last Pew survey, Jews are assimilating in an alarming rate. What do you think the future holds for Jews in the United States?
Well, here's the interesting thing. I am an Orthodox Jew with a small O, not with a big O. So in other words, I'm not a member of the Orthodox denomination, but I am Orthodox in belief. I believe in the 13 principles of the Rambam. I believe the Torah is from God. I have an article in the Jerusalem Post, 14 arguments for the divinity of the Torah. But I am not as halachic as a typical Orthodox Jew. I fully acknowledge that. I never want to convey what I am not. So I have no agenda in saying the following. Non-Orthodox Judaism at this time is dead.
It is
a tragedy. No, not because of assimilation, because of leftism. That's leftism has poisoned Catholicism, has poisoned Protestantism, and has poisoned Judaism. This is a rule of life. Everything the left touches, it destroys. There is no, I'm not talking about liberals. Liberals are healthy. They're not strong, they're naive, but they're not evil. Leftism is a completely destructive force. Reform Judaism, if you go to a typical Rosh Hashanah service in a typical conservative or reform temple in the United States, you will hear exactly what you will hear on CNN. The only difference is that the person speaking will have a talit on.
You mean that the rabbi is talking about politics?
Politics, yes. Leftist politics, not just politics.
So you basically think that the cause for assimilation is leftism?
The cause for assimilation is not believing in a divine text. I am a big believer in emunah, not just halacha. I never ask people, do you believe in God? Because the answer is irrelevant. I ask them, do you believe in a divine text? If you don't believe in a divine text, then your God is as irrelevant as an atheist's God. If your God didn't reveal anything, of what use is that God in my life? That God is only what you think that God is.
So basically, the change in the belief is that not God is the creator, but that God is created in human's image. And not like in the Bible, that the human was created in God's image.
Yes. If all Jews just believed that God gave the Ten Commandments at Sinai, they wouldn't assimilate.
Wow. Why do you think that anti-Semitism is on the rise again, even in the United States?
Well, it's on the rise because of a massive influx of Muslims and the left. It's not coming from traditional Americans. That was one of the great lies when they said, "Oh, Donald Trump! Oh, all these anti-Semites! All these bomb threats to Jewish community centers." You know who sent in all those bomb threats? An American Jewish kid who lived in Israel who was mentally ill. So they dropped that one. The vast majority of Jew hatred in the United States is from Muslims and from the left.
What's the connection between the left and anti-Semitism? What's the ideological connection?
There's always been an ideological connection because the left hates nationalism. The Jews have two things they hate: nationalism, chosenness, and religion. I mean, we are, so three things. We really are the opposite of what the left wants people. The left wants people to be, to have a universal identity, not a specific one. Religious Jews are Jewish, and that bugs the left.
But maybe American Jews are not really national. They are American.
I am. I'm American, but I'm also very Jewish.
So why do they hate you?
Well, who's they? The left?
Yeah, not you in particular.
No, not me in particular. Again, let's start with Israel. The left hates Israel. So it hates Jews who support Israel, including leftist Jews who hate Israel. Jews produce a disproportionate number of people who damage Jews and damage the world. 11 of the 12 people who gave nuclear weapon secrets to Stalin were Jews. Jews do disproportionate good and disproportionate bad.
Yeah, that's for sure. Why aren't Jews moving in greater numbers to Israel?
Well, they are from Europe, and they certainly did from Arab countries. If it gets bad in a country, Jews leave. America has been, as the Lubavitcher Rebbe put it, Medina Shel Chesed, a kind country. It has been the best country Jews have lived in since Darius's Persia, which is a long time ago. So outside of Israel, America's... Look, why do so many Israelis come to America? I think more Israelis came to America than Americans went to Israel.
That's for sure. Even my brother, which is here with us in this room, has immigrated from Israel to America because of capitalism, because of liberty, and because of the great economics that you have here.
Okay, so there's a reason. I'm not saying it's good. I'm not saying it's bad. It's just understandable. This is a great country. It is becoming a less great country as the left destroys it. And so you will start seeing more people leaving as the great Judeo-Christian Love America foundations of America start dying. Why were Jews so... There's been anti-Semitism in America, but nothing like Europe, nothing. When the Lubavitcher Rebbe said America was a kind country, Jews could not enter law firms, Jews could not enter country clubs, Jews could not enter Harvard. So nevertheless, this has been a spectacular place for Jews. Why? Since George Washington visited a shul, a synagogue? Because the Americans believed that the Jews were the chosen people. The founders believed that. The founders of America were big believers in Jewish chosenness. They also believed America was the second chosen people.
But if I compare America to other countries, so it is, as the title of your famous book, still the best hope, why the world needs American values to triumph.
Yes, that's from Lincoln.
Yeah.
Right.
So But you and me are Jews. We are not just an Adams who are choosing the best country to live in. When I first read the book of Esther, I was amazed that the temple was already built. The second temple was already built when they were in Persia. Why didn't they do Aliyah?
That's right.
Really amazes someone that Jews doesn't do Aliyah.
It amazes Israelis. I was signed up to make Aliyah when I was 21 years old. And then I got accepted to Columbia University, and my Israeli friend said, oh, no, get your degree from Columbia, then make Aliyah. Then I ended up staying. So I am torn on this issue because I'm a Zionist. And my videos on Israel are the most viewed in the world. And the Netanyahu sent one out, just the PragerU video recently, or before he stopped being prime minister. So I am torn on this issue.
But I'm not asking the question about you, about why didn't you do Aliyah. I'm asking the question about Jews in general. Why does American Jews are staying in America even after more than 70 years of independence?
I'm speaking on behalf of many people who care about being Jewish. There is something beautiful about that we've come from Arba Kanfot Haaretz, the four corners of the earth, and make our country. But there's also something beautiful in having Jews all over the world, because I'm a believer that we should spread the Torah to the world. That's the reason I believe we were chosen. And it's easier to spread something if you're all over the world than if you're in one place. So I'm torn on the issue. And so I'm speaking for me. I don't think I'm speaking for me alone. But the truth is, Jews make Aliyah when it is terrible in the Galut. That is the primary vehicle. That was the primary vehicle for Herzl.
Exactly. And I think that when Israel will have like a better economy than today, less unions and less regulation, we will see a lot of Aliyah from the United States to Israel, because it will rise.
Right, because what is the old joke? How do you end up with $1 million in Israel? Come with 2 million.
Anti-Semitic voices has long claimed that Jews hold dual identity to the country they live in and to Israel. Therefore, their true loyalty should be questioned. Do you agree?
No, that's absurd. That's why I said I have two fathers, Abraham and George Washington. To most Americans, that's a beautiful thing. Do Catholics have a dual identity because they are Catholic? Everyone has a dual identity. I hope they have triple identity. Ask a committed Christian, are you first an American or a Christian? They'll all say a Christian. Does that mean they're not loyal to America? It means that you have that you have loyalty first to God and to your faith, which is fine. That's a very American thing to do.
But Judaism is a loyalty to a specific country.
That's correct.
Which sometimes have different interests than America.
Yes, and my answer to that, what if America and Israel went to war? So I would say I would fight for the one who is right. I'm not going to fight an immoral war, whether it's American or Israeli.
Okay, let's move to another subject. The U.S. and its allies had a policy not to bomb Auschwitz and the railroads leading to the death camps during World War II. How do you, as a proud American, justify that?
I don't justify it. Britain didn't do it either. The Royal Air Force didn't do it. Nobody did it. That's why I find it a little odd that so many Jews worshipped Franklin Roosevelt, who did bupkis, as the Jews say, for the Jews in the Holocaust.
Actually, the United States in Roosevelt's time was so separatist that it did not fight directly against the Nazis until Hitler kindly declared war on the United States, which was probably Hitler's biggest mistake.
That's right. Hitler declared war. That's correct. Yes, that is correct. However, this is chatzi nechama. This is only, mildly comforting. The world doesn't do anything for anybody. What did the world do for the Armenians? What did the world do for the Tutsis when massacred by the Hutus? What did the world do for the 60 million Chinese that Mao starved to death? or the 6 million Ukrainians that Stalin starved to death. That's why this notion of world opinion makes me nauseous. World opinion is morally worthless. Worthless. World opinion is anti-Israel today. World opinion stinks. It's world opinion is New York Times opinion. New York Times is a moral wasteland. And it's BBC opinion, another moral wasteland. Unfortunately, that's why Adonai oz la'amo yitein, Adonai yivarech et amo bashalom. You first have to have oz. You need strength. Then you don't get peace. Be strong, because no one else is going to take care of you.
רציתי להציע לכם להפיק סיפור חיים מרגש לסבא וסבתא. אז אם אתם גם רוצים להפיק תוך זמן ממש קצר סיפור חיים שכולל את כל החיים מלידה ועד זקנה, ולשמור את כל הסיפורים הכי טובים של סבא וסבתא כדי שלא ילכו לאיבוד, תפנו אליי 0505-77-0586 ותקבלו הצעת מחיר. להתראות. Israel have also the right to defend itself, but should have also the ability and the power to defend itself, and only then we will be truly independent.
That's right.
There used to be a great amount of support to Israel from American Jews and even from Reform Jews, but every now and then we encounter the intent from some of those supporters to reduce their support. Can you tell us more about this issue?
The more the left influences Jews, the more anti-Israel they will be. That's it. It's not a complex question.
So how should Israel address this issue?
Israel can't. Israel, there's nothing Israel can do.
Like,
forget it. Once, there's nothing Israel can do.
Wants American Jews to be happy, that,
no.
To there's, be supportive.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm sorry to interrupt you, and I'm sorry to be so pessimistic, but I'm realistic.
So
there's nothing Israel can do about the leftism of American Jews.
Just to ignore their opinion.
No, continue to make your case. I believe Israel should make its case. But if a Jew says Israel is an apartheid state, which is as big a lie as the blood libel in medieval Europe, what is Israel supposed to do? It's like, what should the Jews do in England when they said, you know, you killed Christian children to use their blood for matzah? What were they supposed to say? No, we don't. What is Israel supposed to say? Gee, you know, in fact, the freest Arabs in the Arab world live in Israel, are Israeli citizens. that we have a video at PragerU from a black member of the South African parliament who lived under apartheid, went to Israel to see, is it true Israel's an apartheid state?
After the Durban conference.
But it was probably afterwards.
They said that Israel is an apartheid state in the Durban conference.
Oh, okay, that's where it started.
Yeah.
Fair enough, okay. But I don't know, it's just now so common that you don't need Durban. So he went, he goes, this is a great lie, and it's an insult to me. I lived under apartheid. I know what it is. You're insulting my experience by calling Israel an apartheid state. By sheer chance, this man got sick. He was in an Israeli hospital. On one side was an Orthodox Jew. On the other side was a Palestinian Arab. And he's a black guy. This never happened under apartheid.
Yeah, and free.
Of course, free.
Free medical.
Yes, and free. That's right. That's correct. I thought you meant free politically.
Yeah.
Yes, free both ways. Correct.
So what do you think Israel should do when the Democratic Party is abandoning Israel? Once there was a dual party support of Israel, and now only the Republicans are supporting Israel.
There are still a few old-time Democrats. But yeah, the Democratic Party is alienated because it's been taken over by the left.
So Israel,
when Democrats were liberal, they were pro-Israel. When they're left, they're anti-Israel. That's correct.
So Israel should choose a side?
Israel doesn't have to choose anything. Like, Israel has to be
Israel.
Like,
to support someone to be elected.
We in Israel are not going to defend our right to live. If you have a problem with a Jewish state existing, I'm sorry you feel that way. We don't feel that way. Okay? If you think that we should not respond when people send thousands of rockets to kill as many men, women, and children as possible, then there's something wrong with you, not us. So that's why I say Israel has to be strong. It should make its case as best as possible. The truth is, it's more effective if in America, if an American makes the case for Israel generally than an Israeli, just the way it works. You know, we have another video up by the former commander of the British troops in Afghanistan.
Yeah, he's amazing.
Says Israel.
He's amazing.
Yes, amazing. He's a wonderful man, Kemp. And he says the most moral army in the world is Israel. Millions of people have watched that video. Has it changed any American leftist? I doubt it.
I would say the IDF is too moral because you have a trade-off between defending your own life, your own,
that's right,
your own soldiers' lives,
that's correct,
and the enemy's
they put
civilian.
Israeli soldiers' lives at risk.
Too much.
So as not to kill Arab civilians. That is correct. That is why the left is so evil. It calls good evil and evil good. And anyone who thinks that Israel is the villain, I debated at Oxford. Your viewers could watch it. Dennis Prager at Oxford. And what was the debate? This is what's interesting. Is Hamas or Israel the greater obstacle to peace in the Middle East? And do you know who I debated? An Israeli.
Yeah.
An Israeli...
Arab, right?
No.
A woman.
Israeli Jew. She was Iranian, not Jewish. There were two people.
Oh.
Avi Shlaim. The man was in Sahal, okay? He is a Sabra. He's a Tabar. Grew up in Israel, served in Sahal, and now is a professor of international relations at Cambridge or Oxford. The debate was at Oxford. I don't know if he's at Oxford or Cambridge. I think Oxford. And he argued that Israel, not Hamas, is the greater obstacle to peace in the Middle East. An Israeli.
What was his argument?
What was his argument? Watch the debate. They made no sense to me. None. The Jews produce more sick people proportionately than any other group I know of. We produce Trotskys, and we produce Marxes, and we produce Avi Shlaims, and we produce Noam Chomskys, and the like. No other group produces that. Do blacks produce people who defended the South African regime? No. It's like any blacks defend slavery, yet Jews defend people who wish to destroy us. There is a sickness in many Jews, and I don't know from where it emanates, but it is undeniable.
Do you have a clue? Like some, maybe...
Do I have a clue? Yes. My clue is they hate the fact that God chose us. They really loathe it. They want to distance themselves from Sinai, as best as possible. The reason I believe that, they don't believe that, because this is not conscious. But I believe that is ultimately what is involved.
Actually, I'm going to interview in a few weeks Avrom Burg, which was the Speaker of the Knesset. And now he's really, as far as I can read his opinion, really wants Israel to be weaker, wants the Palestinian to be stronger, and it's a really shame thing to
well, yes,
to wish
so
for.
You know what? Now that you said that, and I'm not commenting on Berg, but now that you said that, I have another answer. Just occurred to me, why are many Jews like Avi Shlaim? They want to be loved by the world. Nobody
cheered
Oxford,
for you at Oxford. Nobody clapped his hands.
That is exactly correct. That is exactly right.
So, do you think that the Jews continue to be one nation, or is there no longer a common ground between Israel and some of the American Jews?
Yeah, there's no longer a common. There's no longer a common ground between me and a lot of American Jews. there's no longer a common ground between a lot of Americans. The left doesn't want us to be one people. The left wants us to be black Americans and white Americans and rich Americans and poor Americans and brown Americans and indigenous Americans.
Identity politics.
Identity politics. So anyway, you know what? I at a very young age in my life, I gave up on unity. I just care about people having good values. The more people have good values, the more unity you'll have. But preaching unity is useless.
Sometimes I think that when people talk about unity, they talk propaganda.
Well,
they talk
propaganda.
Unity
it's,
with them.
Yes, of
Be
course.
Be like me.
Exactly. Unity on my terms, which I do too. I want everybody united on my values.
It's just that you're liberal and you want everybody to
be liberal.
To be liberal, to think their own way.
Yes.
Not to do bad, not to hurt someone, just to have the right to speak for themselves and to have their own property and to write their own...
No, that's traditional liberalism.
Yeah.
I am a traditional liberal. I'm called a conservative.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Al HaMashmaut, podcast filosofi politi.